Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to the Mark Fraley Podcast. Today is Saturday, February 22nd, 2020. It is a beautiful sunny day here in Nashville, but quite cold. In spite of the cold, our witch hazel tree is in full bloom, a marvelous bronze color and a sweet aroma. As we get started today, let me remind our listeners that the Mark Fraley Podcast is available on iTunes, so please find us on iTunes or whatever service you use for podcasts, and subscribe. And that way you'll always be notified when a new session is posted. Also, we have our own Facebook page, and on that page we announce each new podcast edition. Also, we often share news items, announcements, and other materials that are relevant to the topics that we've covered on the program. As always, we do love to hear your comments about the program. Those of you who are regular listeners to this podcast certainly know by now that I'm a parks and recreation nerd. I sort of grew up in the recreation side of things, helping my father lead recreation programs, teaching swimming, tennis, archery, and organizing tournaments. And for several years, it was my profession. So I strive to keep up with what's going on in that field. As in any field, new leaders emerge to take the profession into the future with youthful energy. In today's program, I introduce you to Bob Benson, the new president of the Tennessee Recreation and Parks Association. Bob will be serving in that capacity through November 2020. Bob shares with us his plans for the year, including the upcoming annual meeting, which will be held for the first time in Wilson County. Also, Bob discusses preparations for Tennessee and Nashville hosting next year's annual meeting of the National Recreation and Parks Association. And so I hope you'll enjoy this interview with Bob Benson. Bob Benson, welcome to the Mark Fraley Podcast.
Mark, thank you so much for asking me to do this. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome, and I'm thrilled to be with you and to get to know you a little bit better. We're here in the conference room of the General Office of the Metro Parks and Recreation Department, the Jim Fike Conference Center. So it's nice to be here, and thank you for having us over here.
It's my pleasure.
Bob, you are the new president of the Tennessee Recreation and Parks Association, TRPA. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to spend some time with you talking about that position and your hopes and dreams about what's going to happen under your leadership at TRPA for your one-year term. Before we do that, though, let's let my listeners learn a little bit about you.
Okay.
Where are you from, Bob?
I was born and raised in Racine, Wisconsin.
Okay.
I was raised there till it was my senior year of high school, actually, that my dad got transferred to the South. So I left high school halfway through my senior year, which at that time was traumatic, you know, for a 17-year-old kid. I couldn't stay behind. So I came to the South. First, it was Lexington, Kentucky, and then it ended up being Nashville,
okay,
which I love Nashville. And I've been here most of my life, probably 37 years now, I would say. I've lived,
okay,
in Nashville.
All right.
And I've got three grown children, one granddaughter, and I have a grandson on the way.
Oh, boy.
In about a month.
All right.
And I had been with my partner, Michael, for 18 years, and we got married last year.
So fantastic.
That's it in a nutshell.
So you went to high school here in Nashville?
No, I graduated high school in Lexington, Kentucky,
okay,
with a bunch of strangers. That was the awful part of it, you know? So it's okay. You think you'll never live through those things, but you do.
Okay.
When I came to Nashville, I went directly into work, and I got hooked up with the government right away, and that was state government at the time.
Tell me.
I worked in Ned McWhorter's, part of Ned McWhorter's office at that time,
okay,
for the Tennessee Arts Commission,
okay,
and also the Tennessee Film, Entertainment, and Music Commission.
All right.
And it was during those days, and that was the late 80s, I'd say, at that point,
right,
that I got a phone call that the candidate running for mayor, Phil Bredesen, was looking for someone to be an administrator of the campaign office, an,
okay,
office manager.
Okay.
So I got a phone call asking me to come in and interview, and I did, and I went directly to work for Governor Bredesen, which was fantastic. You know, of course, he won that election, and my youngest son was born 1 week before Election Day.
Fantastic. And so did you work in Bredesen administration for the 8 years of
I did. I started in constituent services, where you learn a whole lot about the city and a whole lot about everybody's problems and what they need fixed. Yeah. And then I eventually became his scheduler. So you did his daily schedule and his security schedule.
In the governor's office?
In the mayor's office. Okay. Right. So at the end of the eight years, his two terms, I had worked a lot with some of the people in Parks and Recreation during that time. And I had asked to move over to Parks and Recreation before his second term was over. Okay. So I came over here then. My primary skills were in computers. So okay. I assisted Earl Woolwine, who's no longer with us, but he was kind of the computer guy for the Parks and Rec Department, and I was his assistant for all those years, and I learned a ton under him. He was just fantastic. I did leave here for a brief stint for about 8 months when Phil Bredesen became governor.
Okay.
I went up to the state capitol to do that same job, but that same job just wasn't as good a fit for me as it was on the city level.
Okay.
So
okay.
Thankfully, I was able to come back here to Parks, where I've always felt at home, and it was a wonderful move. I mean, it was a great experience.
You know, people think a lot about park and recreation and what it takes to deliver that service to a community the size of Nashville. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, of course, it takes people who, you know, have a whistle around their neck and work in the community center, and it takes the park police, and it takes the maintenance guys that run the lawnmowers and keep the parks clean. But it also takes computer guys.
It does. And I'll say coming over here in that capacity turned out to be one of the best things ever, because I learned every aspect of Parks and Recreation, because our computers are everywhere and all they know is they need something fixed. So when I would show up, I could fix whatever they needed. It was always a good relationship. And now I know all of the areas, and there's not an area in our park system that I can't walk into that at least somebody knows you know, from those days.
Just,
so that's been helpful.
I want to talk about TRPA today, but mm-hmm. Just for curiosity's sake, what tell us in some a little bit more detail about what your day involves.
Typically, without the TRPA things and the NRPA things we have going on now,
right.
I manage our point of sale systems, which okay. is wherever we collect money. It's the computers that take that money in when we sell memberships or we rent out classrooms or offer fitness classes. There's a computer system that manages all that. Also with the golf courses, there's an electronic tee sheet where they can put in tee times and that.
Scheduling those tee
right,
times and all
right.
that.
We
right.
have two different systems
right.
in our parks department, and this is our second go around. We had an entirely different system, you know, 10 years ago.
Okay.
So to convert it to a new thing is always kind of a nightmare.
Seems like I remember a year or so ago there being some issues with
yes.
a new system coming online and
right.
Right.
And of course we're government, so we still have a lot of rules with government, you know, security, let's say security with certain computer programs, and sometimes we might complain about a speed being not what it should be or whatnot, but we have to follow certain rules being the government.
Well, you know, Metro is a little bit unique in fact in that they have so many enterprise types of operations as part of the Park and Recreation Agency.
Yes.
So you've got several golf courses, you've got an ice rink, you've got wave pool, you've
right.
got tennis facilities.
And all the community centers that are mostly becoming
right.
regional.
Right.
So, you know, every year we add another
right.
regional or two, and then they use the point of sale system too, because
right.
they're no longer a free service.
Fantastic. So you are now the new president of the Tennessee Recreation and Parks Association.
Yes.
Tell us about TRPA. Now, we've interviewed previously in this program Candy Rollins, who's the executive director of TRPA. But for those that may not have listened into that show, tell us a little bit about what TRPA is and what it does.
Well, it's a membership organization for the Parks and Rec professionals across Tennessee. And I'll tell you, holding this office is the greatest honor of my professional career. I can honestly say that. I've wanted to have this position for several years, and it's finally here, and I'm glad to have it. And it's very busy. I was saying the other day, I got more emails from people from TRPA than I did from Metro, you know, 1 week when we were particularly busy with something. So It's a lot. It involves a lot. And my hat's off to Candy, who's done this for a very long time, because it's a lot to manage and it's a lot to juggle. And right. She gets a new boss every year, so that cannot be easy.
Right.
So it's a great organization. We support Parks and Recreation people that work in this industry across the state. We do educational conferences, things like that.
About how many members are there now?
Oh, gosh. I would hesitate to say, because Candy would probably correct me and say, okay, you should have known that number.
Yeah, your website says about 800. I presume that's about right.
It probably is, yeah. I know we do a conference each year in different parts of the state. I know when we hold it here in Nashville, our attendance is usually over 400.
Okay.
So, that's pretty good, because most places can't afford to send all of their employees to it.
Right.
But now we have agency memberships, which we did not have in the past. So, for instance, Metro Parks here in Nashville, we pay the agency membership fee, mm-hmm. and all of our employees are automatically members of TRPA.
I see. So that brings a lot of people in.
Oh, it does. Yeah. It brings a lot. And we have, the organization puts on 3 free workshops every year. One in West Central and East Tennessee. And then we put on 3 schools, which have a nominal fee associated with them. But that's the Athletics and Maintenance School, the Management Professional Institute, and also the Programmers School.
Okay.
So the numbers for attendance and all those has dramatically increased over the past
couple
of years.
Since you had the agency memberships?
Well, not since that, but since last year. Our last president, Simon Bradbury, did a really incredible thing. At the beginning of our year, the board got together and he worked us through this process to come up with a program or an initiative for the year. And we settled in on something called 21 by 21. The theme being, who has a professional certification in Parks and Recreation? A CPRP or a CPRE?
Okay.
You know, at that time, I want to say there was about 88 people across the state that held one of those certifications. And, it's a test on a lot of various aspects, budgets and legal things and sports and you name it, anything that has to do with what we do. So the goal was to get 21 newly certified people by the year 2021, which is when we're going to host the national conference.
Okay.
Thinking, that's a great story to tell when the national conference does come here.
Right.
So last year was the first year of that. And there were, I want to say, 16 new people added
Fantastic.
To the list. So
Fantastic.
16 out of 21 in the first year. We're like, wow, this is great. So our goal this year is to have at least 21 people take this test this year. We'll hit our 21 number without any problem, but we want to have a good story to tell.
So this is a test that's administered by the National Recreation and Parks Association?
It is, yes.
Okay.
Yes, and there's a fee that goes along with it. And
right.
part of the deal here is the TRPA's fundraising arm, which is the TRPEF.
Right.
It's a Tennessee Recreation Parks Educational Foundation.
Right.
They provide scholarships for our members.
I see.
So the test may cost a couple hundred dollars to take, but the TRPEF offers scholarships to pay that fee for any TRPA members that want to, take the test. If, they have to apply for the scholarship, of course, first.
Now these days, many of our new people coming into this profession actually have degrees in Park and Recreation Administration or
Absolutely.
Some such thing as that.
They do.
Now, a person that has that degree doesn't automatically qualify for that certification, or do they have to take the test as well?
There's that certification is separate, and it's only given by the National Recreation and Parks Association. That's something that they do.
Okay.
So if you had a degree in Parks and Rec already,
right.
your certification is something separate.
Okay.
If you wanted to look into that, you could certainly do
okay.
that.
Okay.
Now, the beauty of this is when you get a certification, you need to earn educational credits,
right.
Over the next 2 years in order to keep that certification. So why our numbers are rising is our free workshops. We do all these educational sessions and each one is worth, 0.1. Well, everybody needs these certificates. Everyone needs the
continuing
credits now.
Education
right.
Units,
so,
right.
So we're
right.
getting more attendance at the workshops now, more attendance at the schools.
Okay.
And it's blossoming rather quickly.
So Bob, what are your ambitions for this year, and what do you hope to do, and what do you see as the issues, and what do you want to try to accomplish?
Well, this year, first and foremost, we wanted to continue the 21 by 21, which we are. I wanted to bring some attention to the TRPEF because they are offering these scholarships in numbers that they couldn't have done years ago. Mm-hmm. So they really have stepped up. But of course, that takes donations and that takes people knowing about them, you know, so we're kind of beefing up the silent auction items, stuff like that. I also wanted to bring back, you know, we do statewide awards every year.
Okay.
A couple of years back, we sort of pared it down. There seemed to be so many awards. There were more awards sometimes than people were applying for, you know, so we kind of pared it down,
okay,
kept the most special ones, but removed some other ones just temporarily, one being a volunteer recognition. Because we thought if you're going to volunteer, if you're going to recognize your volunteers, it means more when you do it in your local community,
okay,
than if you did it at a statewide conference across the state, right, when the volunteer wasn't even there to receive an award.
Sure,
right.
Sure.
So what I propose this year is we've just come up with a special certificate from the TRPA, and we've asked agencies throughout the state, if you do an event, a luncheon, a dinner, or anything, you know, recognizing your volunteers, let the TRPA office know, give us those names, and then one of the board members, whoever lives closest or whoever is available, we will do our best to come out and present those during your banquet.
Great way to approach it.
Well, it's a feel good for them, and it helps the organization too.
Right.
So yeah.
So tell us about your award program. What are the awards that you do?
There are 8 major awards. They're called the 4-star awards, and they have to do with new facilities, renovated facilities, special event. I'm going to draw a blank on all 8 of them, but there are 8 big ones. And then there are some smaller ones that are our sections and branches give out. Some of those are individual awards.
Right.
I was telling you, one of our guys here at Mike Teeny in our cultural arts division, he won the arts award for a podcast that he created last year. So
fantastic.
That was great.
Fantastic.
So yeah, the awards are something we do once a year at our annual conference. And that brings me to the conference, because this fall we were going to host the conference in Nashville. That had been the intention for the past couple years. We said we would do that. But as time got closer and as prices rose in Nashville, we're kind of priced out.
Okay.
So we're not doing it in Nashville because we can't afford any of the hotels. No hotels will go below $300 a night.
Oh, my.
Well, you know, and none of us could send our staff to a conference here in Tennessee and paying rates like that.
Exactly.
But we wanted to keep it in Middle Tennessee. So we are using the Wilson County Expo Center.
Oh, okay.
Just over in the next county. Okay. It's a fantastic facility if you haven't seen it.
I have not seen
it. Well, it's great. It's got the exhibit hall space. It's got meeting room space. And it's only a few years old. It is really something.
Okay.
So we're going to have it in Wilson County. So being in Wilson County, there's not a local host committee
Nashville. I was going to say, I don't know. There probably is a park and recreation department
in
Lebanon.
Lebanon and Mount Juliet has a ride. And we've been in touch with some of the tourism folks in Wilson County who are very excited that we're coming. But the board I'm working with this year is so good. I told them, I said, we're all going to have our jobs on the board this year, but we are also putting on a conference because we are the conference host committee now.
Right.
You know, we all have to, and everybody's pitching in and everybody's really excited to do it. So
when is that conference?
That conference is going to be November 16 through 19.
Okay.
Right.
That's kind of a traditional time for the TRPA.
It is. We do it. Right. Candy's always said we do it either a month before or after the national conference.
Okay.
So
I do understand that you all are going to be hosting the national.
We are. We will be. Nashville is the home to the NRPA conference in 2021.
Okay.
So we have, I say we, one of my coworkers, Shelley Walker, and I, she and I are kind of co-chairing the effort to organize this conference here locally. So she and I have gone to the national conference, I want to say probably the past 5 years, and we've worked every volunteer job they have.
Right.
Just to get a good idea of the breadth of it and just, you know, what all is involved in it, because it's a pretty big deal. So there's a lot of components to it. And the first one, was, I want to say, you know, it was just last month. We got an email saying, sorry, we forgot to let you know. But there's a meeting in Orlando that you all have a seat on this committee. So I was hustling off to Orlando for 3 days for a fascinating meeting. So this is where they decide on how the conference is going to be laid out and what the programs are going to be, you know, what programs to offer. And Orlando showed them a really nice time and kind of impressed them. It was a committee of people from all over the country, about 25 people. They sit on this committee, and because we're going to be the host city, we have a seat on it now too.
Right.
So I learned a lot, took a lot of notes, and over those 3 days, everyone kept saying, "Bob, are you taking notes?" Because they're really blowing this out of the water. I said, "Oh yes, we're going to do a great job. Don't worry."
So your meeting is going to be at the Metro
Music
Convention
City Center.
Okay.
Right, at
okay.
the Music City Center.
Okay.
I think they booked that many years ago.
Sure.
So I'm sure,
sure.
the prices were lower.
And is there a particular hotel that's associated with it, or there are several?
I don't know that they have one particular one right now, but generally wherever we go to the national conference, it's all the hotels in the immediate region. They
okay.
usually run buses
right.
from hotel to hotel to hotel.
Right. For listeners, I have been, I think, just to two in my life, to two of these conferences, and it's been a long time ago, but they are huge meetings.
Oh, they are.
And maybe 5,000 or 6,000 attendees?
Well, it's about 9,000.
Okay,
now.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
And so this year is going to be in Orlando.
Okay.
We expect bigger numbers
okay.
being Nashville because
sure
everybody's
you will.
Talking
sure
it up.
Sure you will.
We will have a team that goes to Orlando this fall. The conference this fall is October 26th through 29. So at this year's conference, Nashville has a booth because we just have to promote Nashville as the site for next year. I know Shelley and I will be shadowing the Orlando co-chairs. Throughout.
Who is Shelley?
Shelley's a co-worker. She's
okay.
the lady that I work with here. She
okay.
and I are kind of heading this up.
Okay.
She works in our maintenance division, and
right.
she's... she's top notch.
Okay, all right.
So we'll be shadowing the co-chairs in Orlando. We've got a guy I'm bringing along who just has the perfect brain for organizing things to kind of manage the off-site visits. We do off-site tours and leisure tours. So he's coming with us to Orlando to shadow them, to find out exactly how that's done. And we'll have a team of people, just hospitality people doing giveaways and having a good time
Fantastic.
With it, but really pumping up Nashville, and I kind of like to bring some live music to
So
it
obviously,
as well.
Nashville as the host city, your department here and the mayor's office and everybody's got to get on board and,
right.
and be involved. Is TRPA itself going to be involved in the...
They will. They will.
Tell me about that.
And pardon me, and people around the state too, because I've had a lot of questions of, can we volunteer? We want to do whatever we can, and especially the towns in Tennessee, and it's a great thing. When it comes down to it, by the end of this year, I would say, because we don't want to start more than a year out in collecting names for volunteers
right.
and who wants to do what,
right.
we'll start getting those ducks in the row by that time. I think at our fall conference, at the TRPA conference, I would like to do a little section or session on the NRPA conference coming, what we've done so far, what we still need to do, and kind of rally everybody up.
Fantastic.
Because, it'll be great. And the TRPA, they helped when we hosted this last time. It was in 1999. That was actually, I came to Parks 1 month before that national conference happened. So I remember it well. And the TRPA handled a lot of the money aspects of it because it's not really a Metro Parks event. I mean, you know,
right.
We
right.
we have to help because we live here locally,
right.
but the TRPA, would pay for the buses and do things like that.
Gotcha.
So they will help in that respect as
gotcha.
Well.
Gotcha. Well, local residents here in Nashville, be forewarned about 10,000 park and recreation individuals coming into town.
Yes.
It can be quite a fun experience.
It is a lot of fun. And I'd say all in all, our primary jobs with this conference will be offsite institutes, which is coming up with some educational places to take people,
right.
you know, getting buses for that.
Right.
We will also do leisure tours. spouses come to the conference. So it's things for them to do during the day. And we, you know, thankfully we're a tourism city. So we've got a lot of things that, that people want to see.
Exactly.
That won't be a problem. We'll need about 150 volunteers. That will not be difficult to come up with. I mean, we can do
Fantastic.
That. It's just a matter of good organization.
So Bob, let's change courses just here, just a second.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just talk about parks and recreation and how it's changing, or has it changed? Is it still changing? What does the future look like for parks and recreation in Nashville and in Tennessee?
That's a really good question, and it probably has 100 different answers. I think the thing that I see the most, you know, we all, I say we, most of the parks and rec people, at least in Tennessee, we work for a government agency. A lot of us, you know, so you have limitations on what you can do or how many staff you can hire or what your budgets are. And everyone kind of goes down the same path of what's the next trend and trying to teach it and learn it and do it. And that's great. But I think what I notice the most is just out in the general public that parks are no longer just these public spaces managed by, you know, a government parks agency. Private companies, they're building their own parks into things. We have a downtown in Nashville, a hotel in downtown Nashville that has parkland in it. And I didn't even know that till they're doing movie nights out in their park. And you wouldn't know unless you took an aerial view of the city, you know, to look down and see where this was.
It's kind of a little town square sort of event.
It sort of is,
yeah.
And a lot of new places going in have a, you know, there's a place out in the Nations here out on the west side of town that's it's a bar / dog park. You know, you bring your dogs and you have a beer. People are building spaces like this. I was in Tampa at an event last year, and they took us to a place, and it had, you know, it was a family entertainment center. It had a bowling alley, it had restaurants and bars. And in the center of the whole thing was green space. It was a giant park with swings and families laying, you know, sitting on blankets and bringing their own coolers. And there was a bar in the middle of the park. And I'm like, wow, what is going on here?
So the lines are becoming blurred.
They're becoming blurred. So you're going to have parks, it seems, in a lot of spaces you would have never seen them before. And I think it's fascinating. I love it.
Well, it is fascinating. It may raise some issues.
It may raise some issues, but it also may raise the bar, too, on what's expected.
Isn't that fun? Isn't that interesting? That yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes the delivery of services by that local government need to be at a higher level.
Right. They may need to step it up, or maybe the portion of the local government morphs into something different than it is now. I don't know. There's no way to guess, but I'm fascinated by spaces like that because you want to be there. You know, you want to go to these places.
So interesting. So what other issues do you see out there on the landscape as far as parks and recreation is concerned?
I don't know. We all deal with our own. I think every agency in Tennessee has budget problems, and we're no different. You know, we're hoping that our situation gets turned around pretty soon. But we all do double jobs, and most people do now. You know, we've had people that have retired that have frozen positions or vacant positions, and you still have to just hold on to that. So people are doing more work now, I think, than they ever have in the past. You know, I've mentioned that I do our point of sale systems here. Right. I also manage an inventory warehouse for all the golf merchandise we sell.
Wow.
Because we're not able to hire that person yet, you know, and hopefully that'll change. But until then, everybody does what they just need to do to keep things rolling and just to keep things going well.
Bob, there are numerous groups that are involved in some way with recreation in Tennessee. I think of the Tennessee Trails Association and the Scenic Rivers Association and the Environmental Council and the Sierra Club and groups of this nature that are advocates for people who are doing recreation.
Right.
Does TRPA have a role to play in coordination or consultation with these sorts of groups?
That's an interesting question. That's such a complicated relationship, I think. It's sort of like, you know, here at Metro Parks, we have a lot of friends groups.
Sure.
That are great, and they help us with a lot of different things. Warner Parks has its friends group, and Shelby Park has its, and there's a lot of those, and those are not, you know, to get everybody on the same playing field with how they want to help you would be an enormous challenge, you know, just for our park system, let alone trying to, you know, make something level across the state. I don't know how you could do it. I think it would be fantastic if you could.
Yeah. I think, you know, a dialogue with these other organizations is important.
And there's so many.
There are many. There are a lot.
Yeah.
So there are some that are very good and some that really are not that active or not quite as big or as dynamic.
And some you may have, you know, you may have some group come up that wants to help you with, I don't know, some obscure thing, and you're right. Going, well, no, we don't really need help with that.
Right.
But they
right.
don't see it right. that way, and right. they want to do something. So a needs assessment has to be a part of
sure,
that
sure.
because, you know, you can't just have everybody wanting to help with every little thing.
So what else do you see as in your quiver of things to do for this year?
Well, the volunteer thing was a real big one for me, and the 21 by 21, of course. It's working on this conference. I think that's going to be all consuming because the board members are going to be doing it this year, you know,
okay.
and we can do it. I mean, there's no doubt that we can't,
okay.
but it's just it's an organizational thing, and it's getting people to, you know, right now we're taking submissions for educational sessions. You know, if you want to teach a session, fill out this form, send it in. So in the next few weeks, we'll be going over all that to kind of put the program together.
Oh, for your conference?
For our conference
in Wilson County.
Wilson County.
Okay.
Right. And then after that, I'll be pretty tied up with the NRPA stuff too later this year.
Fantastic.
So, but it's very exciting stuff.
Fantastic. Well, Bob, thank you so much for taking your time today and spending a little bit of time with us.
Thank you, Mark.
All right.
I really appreciate
it. Enjoyed getting to know you.
My pleasure.
All
thank
right.
you.